So last week, we finished up our series looking at our church mission statement, really looking at the mission that we have heard God calling us to, who God has called us to be as this particular church. And we did that through the lens of our church mission statement, that we are called to be a Christ-centered community, welcoming all in hope and grace as we worship God, grow in faith, and serve one another. And I hope over the month and a half that we looked at that, you were perhaps struck by the fact that that is a tall order, isn't it? That is quite something to try to live into. Today is a couple things. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, a few of them. This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. This is our annual pledge dedication Sunday, which is one of the reasons we have been looking at that church mission statement. Today is also the last Sunday before the season of Advent begins, if you can believe that. And because Advent is the very beginning of a new church year, in the liturgical cycle of the church, Advent begins the new church year. And so this Sunday is, in a way, it is like New Year's Eve of the church new year. So happy New Year's. And also, because it's the last Sunday of the church year, today is the Sunday that has become known and celebrated as sometimes as as Christ the King or the Reign of Christ Sunday. And so you may have noticed we've got white here on the pulpit and on the table instead of the green that we've had. The green is what symbolizes what is called ordinary time in the liturgical calendar, but white symbolizes those special days of celebration. You see it around the Easter and on the Christmas season and here on Reign of Christ Sunday. And so if you're going to have a sort of New Year's Eve kind of Sunday that bridges the gap between the year that is closing out, the year that is behind us, and the new year that is just there on the horizon, if you're going to have a Sunday that bridges the gap between all the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs that each year has brought, and then the hopes and worries and promises of what the next year may bring, what a gift it is to have a Sunday that is simply called Reign of Christ Sunday. What a gift it is to have a reminder, to have a flag so boldly planted in the ground of our lives, past, present, and future, that says Christ is King, that simply declares that it is Jesus through it all. It is Jesus who reigns. Especially when it is also the Sunday that we are dedicating and bringing our commitments to the church, to the mission of the church for the next year, to be reminded that it is Jesus who reigns. And also, especially because of that we have just been reminded over the past month and a half of what a tall order it is to live into and to live up to our mission God has called us to. Well, here's some good news on that. Because our scripture passage this morning, it is a big, bold, and scandalously audacious passage. I don't know if you picked up on that, but it is. And it, in fact, begins with a much-needed prayer for us to be made strong with the strength that comes from God's glorious power, to find steadfast perseverance and joyful thanksgiving. That all that we are called to live in and to live out, it is not up to us to muster up the strength needed for us to do that on our own. that we are called. Yes, we are called into a mission to live and move and be a partner in the work that God is doing here and in the world, but it is not a mission that lives or dies by whether we get it right or not. Because what we ultimately have here in our passage this morning, in this day called Reign of Christ Sunday, is a great, big, bold declaration of who Jesus is, who he is for us and for this world. That he, our scripture tells us, that he is the very image of what otherwise may be invisible to us. The firstborn of all creation, yet it was through him that all things, whether in heaven or on earth, were created, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers, all things have been created through him and for him. And that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That he is the head of his body. And you think, great! He and his body, they are still present here on the earth at work. And then you realize the body he is talking about is us, the church, everything that we've talked about the past month and a half. And you think, oh my goodness, what was he thinking? And yet there it is, with the promise that he is present with us in it. And that he himself is the beginning. And he who is the firstborn of all creation is also the firstborn of the dead, the firstborn of new creation. He is the beginning and the end and everything in between. And that in him who, as we will begin celebrating just next week, was born in an unsanitary manger among the barn animals to a traveling couple who found themselves with no place to rest. Him who had to grow from baby to toddler, and then from toddler to adolescent, and from adolescent to young man, that in him, in that person who wore diapers or whatever was the equivalent back then, and who had to learn to walk and talk and had growth spurts and all of that, that in him, in that person, Jesus of Nazareth, he who at the end of his life, shady governments and conspiring powers had hung him up on a cross as an attempted sign of who was really Lord, in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile all things in heaven and on earth, reconciling them to himself by making peace through the blood of that very cross. Do you see why I said this is a bold, big, audacious passage? In short, this passage, this scripture comes along, the word comes shattering into this world, and all our histories and present circumstances and hopes and worries of whatever the future may hold, it comes barreling in, crashing in, and makes the claim. The very claim that was echoed in one of the early church's most profound and most scandalous affirmations of faith. Just three words long, right there in the middle of it all, in the middle of life, is the affirmation and the proclamation that Jesus is Lord. What an audacious thing to say. To dare to utter those words. What a recklessly audacious thing to say, right? You watch the news, same as I do. You and I and all of us, we live lives that don't always turn out the way we expected or hoped. Things go wrong. Sometimes comically so, and sometimes painfully so. And yet here we are, on this last Sunday, receiving word that in and through it all, Jesus has been and is and will be Lord. And I have to confess that this is one of those awkward things that preachers find themselves doing, or anyone, for that matter, who would dare stand up in front of anybody and make such a claim. Because when you think about it, this is not something that a cute or funny or clever illustration, and you know, I'm very good at those. That's not true. But even if I was, this is not something that a cute or funny or clever illustration of some kind or another can really make less audacious or more easy for us to believe, can it? That the one who was executed by the thrones and dominions and rulers of this world for us and our sake, that is actually the one who is Lord over those thrones and dominions and rulers. That first century rabbi that was hungry and thirsty, that wept at the death of a friend as he wandered around with a ragtag group of 12 often clueless disciples, one of whom who ends up betraying him for just a little bit of money, and even the others, they kind of abandoned him at the very moment that he needed them the most. This is the person in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and that he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And yet here it is. Here it is, family, this great, awkwardly bold declaration to you and to me, for you and for me, right here in the middle of our lives and our life together, that comes to us in spite of what we see and know about the world. Or maybe it is given to us not in spite of, but precisely because of what we know and experience about the world and about ourselves. Maybe it is precisely because of what we know is true about the world and about us and life lived in this world that what we need to know most of all, in the middle of all of that, is that Jesus is Lord right here in the middle of it all. Because when all is said and done, I don't know about y'all, but the last thing that I want to have to rely on is something that is small enough for me to be able to confidently explain it with a clever illustration. When all is said and done, we need something bigger and bolder and far more audacious than that, don't we? Because to say that Jesus is Lord, it is not to say that we just then sit passively by because, well, whatever happens, happens, so it doesn't really matter. No, in fact, to say Jesus is Lord is to say the exact opposite of that. Jesus is Lord, therefore all things matter. The joys and the sorrows, the ups and the downs, the successes and the failures, and everything in between. To say that Jesus is Lord is to say that you and your life and all that is contained within it, and the same for everyone you see here and everyone you may never see, you and me and all those who are visible to us and all those who for whatever reason may be invisible to us, to say that Jesus is Lord is to say that you and all that you bring with you, your past, your present, your future, all of it matters. To say that Jesus is Lord, far from being a reason to sit back, this means there is work that God calls us to be doing, to be at work doing, that there is an inheritance, not just to be looked forward to. Family, there is an inheritance to be lived into, to be shared in, and to be shared out right now. A present yet still coming kingdom to testify and boldly proclaim in the world, to boldly proclaim to one another. To say that Jesus is Lord is to be reminded. It is to know that in Him, our labor, whatever it may be, and come what may, is never, ever in vain. That Jesus, your King and your friend, your Savior and your Redeemer and your big brother, the Lamb of all grace and mercy and love, who is and was and shall be, that He is Lord. And if there is a greater source of hope and strength, friends, I don't know what it could possibly be. And so as we are here on this Sunday, perhaps looking back, perhaps looking forward, perhaps just wondering how we're going to get through the day, maybe with looking forward with plans and questions and maybe both doubts and hopes and even visions about what God may be calling us as individuals, or certainly calling us as Calvin Presbyterian Church to do and to be, Jesus is Lord. As you may perhaps have a sense that God wants you to step into something new or make a commitment, but you're not quite sure how it will work out or if you're even capable, Jesus is Lord. As you may find yourself wondering if the past has the final say on your future, Jesus is Lord. As we look ahead to what the next day or week or month or years will bring, some of us looking forward with maybe expectant waiting and hope, and others of us maybe with fear and trembling, and still others of us with deeply uncertain longing, or maybe many or most of us with a great big old mixed bag of all those things, Jesus is Lord. So sisters and brothers, friends, family, beloved children of God in Jesus Christ, on this particular day, I have no interesting illustration or clever explanation of this or that to offer. What I have is simply this: the mysterious and boldly audacious grace and promise given to us that God has declared, the deeply challenging and profoundly comforting and strengthening truth and hope that in all things, in all places, and at all times, Jesus, the one who lived for you, and who died for you, and who rose again for you, the firstborn of creation and the firstborn of the dead, the one who is the very image of the invisible God, He who is before all things, and He in whom all things hold together, and in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and in whom God was pleased to reconcile all things to Himself. He is Lord. And that is the reality in and under, in front of and behind, over and through, and in all things. All our beginnings and our endings and everything in between. That is the very promise of God in Jesus Christ for you and for us. And indeed, for this world. And so because of that, on this that is the last day of the church year and the bridge, as we prepare to begin another year and we look forward to what God may be calling and inviting us to do and be here in this place, because of that, May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Jesus is Lord. So happy New Year, friends. Happy New Year, for Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's try saying that again. Hallelujah. That's right. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing hymn number 151, Crown Him with Many Crowns.